Case number 12-5211, National Parks Conservation Association, et al., versus the Environmental Protection Agency, and Gina McCarthy, in her official capacity as Administrator, State of Arizona, as appellant. Mr. Glasser for appellant, Mr. Gunter for appellee, United States EPA, and Mr. Ballard for appellees, the National Parks Conservation Association.
May it please the court, Peter Glaser for the State of Arizona. I've asked to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Excuse me. The district court erred here by entering a consent decree that set deadlines for EPA to take action on Arizona's Section 308 Regional Haze State Implementation Plan, or SIP. The district court based its authority to enter the consent decree on a January 2009 EPA finding. But that EPA finding did not in any way address Arizona's Section 308 SIP, nor could it, because that finding was actually...
So you get a new period here? You get a 309 shot at it, and then you get a new period when you do a 308? Is that the theory?
No, and I think the case has sort of become muddled on that, and we'd
well,
really like to
your,
make clear what that what our point is here.
Let me just say my question or my concern, which is I can't figure out what the text of the law that you think is violated by the consent decree, because there was a submission, the 309 submission, which was disapproved, which then gives a two-year period for EPA to impose the FIP. That expired, they imposed the FIP. I don't see how the consent decree that follows that per with the FIP violates any provision of the statute. That's what I'm looking for. What provision of the statute?
Yeah, right, sure, because the consent decree purported to be applicable not just to the 309 SIP, as to which EPA had made a deficiency finding that started the two-year clock, that EPA did not act within, that therefore led to the lawsuit and led to the consent decree, but it also applies to Arizona's subsequently filed 308 SIP, as to which EPA had not made any deficiency findings. Therefore, no valid clock could have been started to that.
You'll have to explain to me the interaction of 309 and 308. Maybe this is what you were getting to with the
when yeah,
you said
sure.
It's been
and
confused.
I think the best way to describe this is that a state always has the right to submit a SIP. And it is, in fact, typical for states to submit SIPs, sometimes when EPA has already taken action to implement a FIP. That is how the state gets its program back. We don't contest here that the original SIP that Arizona submitted, which was under 309, had two missing elements that were required by Section 309. We don't contest that EPA had the right to start the two-year clock for action on that SIP. We don't contest the fact that the district court would have had jurisdiction in EPA's failure to take action within the 2 years to order EPA to take action on that SIP within a specific period of time or impose a FIP. Mm-hmm. So EPA, had it done everything the way it was supposed to do it, EPA would have had authority to impose a FIP to cure the deficiencies in our original SIP
then
submission.
What's the,
all
then what's
true.
The problem? Yeah, that's right.
All true.
I'm
right?
with you all
so,
the way.
Yeah, right. So what's the problem? The problem is that years later, Arizona then comes in with a new SIP, which is our right to do. We are always entitled to submit a new SIP. And once we submit a new SIP, EPA's action on that SIP is governed by the same statute, Section 110K and Section 110C1, that that require EPA, before it can start a two-year clock, for any action on any deficiencies that EPA may find.
We have a number of problems. One is, why can't any problems with the FIP be challenged in an attack on the FIP? The other is, how does this argument fit within the issue preserved in the stipulation for the district court?
Well, maybe addressing the second question first. We went to the district court, Arizona went to the district court and said, the issue that we have with what you're doing in the consent decree is that you're setting deadlines for action on our subsequently filed 308 SIP. And the district court allowed Arizona to intervene.
That assumes that the FIP improperly, mistakenly, reacts to the SIP under 308, which is an argument that you have in the context of litigating the FIP.
Well, we are able to argue in the context of litigating the FIP and the SIP disapproval, which we're doing in the Ninth Circuit. We have the ability to argue that it was improperly imposed in the sense that it imposes requirements that are substantively not proper. But we have a kind of a unique situation here where EPA said in the very action that it took to disapprove our 308 SIP and to impose a 308 FIP, the EPA wished that it had more time to work with Arizona. EPA said that explicitly.
That argument doesn't seem to have been preserved in the stipulation. That argument seems outside. I mean, I think it's an interesting argument about these delay cases, but it seems outside the issue preserved in the stipulation, which is focused entirely on the sequence of SIPs and FIPs.
No, I respectfully disagree with that, Judge Williams. The argument was preserved because Arizona came to the district court and said our problem with what's happening here is that the deadlines will apply to our subsequently filed 308 SIP. EPA should not be subject to deadlines for action on our 308 SIP. And if EPA makes a deficiency finding, then starts the two-year clock. Arizona should not be subject to those deadlines because EPA has not made any of the three 110C1 findings as to that SIP. That's why we got into the case. We were not in the case saying that we had not submitted a 309 SIP that was incomplete. We admitted that, and we could not, in fact, according to the terms of the stipulation, challenge what EPA was doing under Section 309. We were only in the case to say that EPA could not impose deadlines for action on the 308 SIP, which is now on appeal in the Ninth Circuit, unless EPA first made one of the three Section 110C1 findings as to that SIP.
Maybe I'm not understanding the statutory structure. Suppose the FIP is in place, properly in place for the failure to submit a complete or to have a disapproved SIP on the 309 SIP. So the FIP's properly in place.
Right.
Okay, let's suppose that. And then Arizona submits a 308 SIP. What's the legal status of the FIP while the SIP is pending?
The FIP remains in place.
Okay, when does the FIP have to be displaced? Does EPA have to displace the FIP with the new SIP, and how does that work under the law?
Right. And I would point out that in the order that EPA issued imposing the FIP, EPA specifically invited Arizona to submit a new SIP to replace the FIP so that Arizona could get its program back.
What mandates that EPA accept the new SIP and displace the FIP?
Well, the procedure is set forth in 110K1 and 110C1.
My precise question, is there any law that requires EPA or suggests that EPA has to displace the FIP with the new SIP. I'm not understanding quite that
right.
interaction.
The underlying statute, which is 169A, the Regional Haze Program statute, provides for a right of a state to submit a SIP and for the SIP to be given due deference by EPA and for EPA to approve
the SIP. With you on all that, you have the FIP in place, I'm trying to figure out what happens then.
Yeah, right.
And so the FIP's properly in place, we're hypothesizing.
So EPA, we would contend that EPA then is under a statutory obligation, a discretionary obligation to be sure, but a statutory obligation to examine the SIP and to determine whether it would be in conformity with Section 169A to displace the FIP and replace it with a SIP. And this actually happens all the time in EPA practice. And EPA, that is why EPA
specifically... But you used the word discretionary there, discretionary obligation, which is a little ambiguous. If they have discretion to do it and you say it happens all the time, fine, but EPA hasn't done that here, right? Displaced the FIP.
Well, because EPA, I think, went off on the wrong path here. EPA did not impose a Section 309 FIP. See, that's the argument that we're trying to make here, and I think that there seems to be a little bit of a flavor of maybe Arizona's trying to pull a fast one here by sort of keep filing new SIPs, and in the meantime, EPA is without a remedy to impose a FIP. That's not what we're saying. EPA could have acted on the finding that it made and imposed a 309 FIP. That would not take away the right of the state to submit a Section 308 SIP, and we are not arguing that 308 SIP, that EPA would have been required to displace a hypothetical FIP that it might have imposed. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that. We are saying, however, that there is a statutory procedure for acting on a SIP that is submitted. And that procedure says that before EPA can disapprove that SIP and impose a FIP, it must make certain findings.
But the FIP's already in place under...
When
you say, maybe I'm missing something, you say before they can disapprove that SIP and impose a FIP, under the circumstances we have here, there's already a FIP.
Not at the time of the consent decree.
Okay, I mean at the time later on when the SIP process...
Now there's a partial FIP. EPA has not completed action on the 308 SIP. This is an important point. EPA has taken a piece of the 308 SIP, approved part of it, disapproved part of it, and imposed a FIP.
I guess that's an interesting question. At what time are we focusing on here? That's the key time. Is it the time of the consent decree or the time of the SIP, the 308 SIP filing, or is it the time of EPA's action on the 308 SIP? What's the relevant time that we're supposed to be looking at here? Because there is a FIP in place by the latter.
Well, there is a partial FIP in place now. There's an incompleted action to impose a FIP. Mm-hmm. But the relevant time is the time of the consent decree.
Okay.
Because at the time
time of the consent decree, there's no 308 SIP filed, correct?
Actually, there was, yeah.
There is a
sure.
There's no 308 SIP acted upon, I'm sorry.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so here we are before the district court saying...
Filed but not acted upon.
Yeah. We have submitted a new SIP... Do what you need to do with respect to the 309 SIP.
I hate to get further in the weeds, but EPA was already out of time at that point for having to impose a FIP. They should have already imposed a FIP under the statutory deadline, correct?
Hence the lawsuit, hence the consent
exactly.
decree.
Right.
Yeah.
What is about it in the statute that creates essentially the right you're asserting here? Because in your brief, you didn't address statutory language that leads to the result that you favor.
Well, again, Judge Williams, I mean, I think we did, because the issue is the district court imposes a consent decree or enters a consent decree setting forth deadlines for action on our 308 SIP. In response to that, we say, no, you can't do that under Section 110C1, because to do that, EPA has to have first made of three findings.
You're saying that the consent decree is targeted to the 308 SIP?
We went to the district court because we said the consent decree is broad enough to include action both on our earlier file 309.
There are words in it that
no, make it applicable. I understand completely what you're saying, Judge Williams, which is why we went to the district court and we said our concern here is that it's broad enough to include our 308 SIP, and that, in fact, is what EPA did.
Yeah, that surely is an argument that it's completely cognizable in the litigation over the FIP itself.
Well, it may or it may not be. We think that if this
well, if it's a winning argument, it's cognizable.
Well, we would certainly hope for that. Yes.
Well, what about EPA's argument that this is all really a lot simpler because the district court held that it lacked jurisdiction because this was a time barred challenge to the 09 finding, and that nothing in Arizona's opening brief here, which I realize you didn't write, says a peep about that. It doesn't mention jurisdiction. It doesn't cite 76 OCB. It doesn't engage the district court's ruling at all.
Well,
and so that's the end of the case.
Yeah, I understand the argument, but the district court's finding of untimeliness was based on the conclusion that Arizona was challenging the January 2009 finding and hence was untimely,
right,
and collaterally attacking it.
You didn't. That's not raised in your opening brief.
Well, but actually we did say head on that in our opening brief. We said that the reason why we're here is because we're concerned about our Section 308 SIP and the impact of the consent decree on the 308 SIP, and EPA has not made any of the three findings it is required to make. So we are not challenging the January 2009 finding.
Your point is that you're challenging the legality of the consent decree, not the 2009 finding, and the
right.
District court misunderstood what you were challenging.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, because we could not challenge the January 2009 determination, which was entered 2 years before we had even submitted the 308 SIP.
Did you make that argument in your opening brief?
Well,
the district court's jurisdictional ruling is flawed because it misunderstood.
Yeah, I will agree with you, Judge Tatel, that the words the district court's jurisdictional ruling is flawed because is not in the brief.
Right.
However, we did substantively attack head-on the underlying basis of the conclusion that the district court reached as to untimeliness, because that conclusion was based on the determination that we were challenging the January 2009 finding. And we said, no, we're not challenging the January 2009 finding, because that finding did not make any of the necessary findings as to our 308 SIP, which wasn't even filed until 2 years later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm David Gunter from the Department of Justice here on behalf of EPA. With me at council table is Tim Ballo, representing the plaintiffs in the underlying litigation. I plan to argue for 10 minutes and Mr. Ballo for 5. EPA agreed to a consent decree in this case because it recognized as early as 2009 that it had a duty to make sure that there was a regional haze plan in place for Arizona. In the underlying litigation, EPA was concerned that the district court would impose an onerous deadline on it to complete that duty, and so it entered into the consent decree in order to have some control over that deadline. There are 3 points I'd like to make this morning about the consent decree. First, when the district court entered the consent decree, it held that it didn't have jurisdiction to consider Arizona's objections. In its opening brief, Arizona did not challenge that holding, and even in his answer to Judge Tatel this morning, Arizona's counsel referred back to their merits argument when he was trying to explain why that omission occurred.
Well, they're challenging the consent decree, not the finding.
They were challenging.
And it was out of time to challenge the finding. It's not out of time to challenge the consent decree, correct?
They are challenging the consent decree trying to intervene.
If you're challenging the consent decree, that's not out of time, correct?
What the district court held,
can you just answer that question?
They are not out of time to challenge the consent decree because that's an order of the district court.
And they think the consent decree is unlawful, yeah.
Right, but the reasons they offered to the district court for why the consent decree was unlawful were, in effect, a collateral attack on the 2009 right. finding. The district court held...
Not really.
That was a collateral attack.
I don't see that.
It assumes that everything in the finding is perfectly fine, and the question is, what its scope is. And I don't understand. You are arguing that the finding addresses the 308 SIP, are you?
No, the finding doesn't have to address the 308 SIP. Well, what EPA said in the 2009 finding is that Arizona had failed to submit plan elements. That is the only thing that Arizona says it's not challenging about the 2009 finding. But EPA went on in that finding to say that failure to submit plan elements constitutes a failure to make a required submission under Section 110C, right, and that as a result, EPA had a two-year duty to act and make sure there was a regional haze SIP or FIP in place for Arizona within 2 years. EPA went on to say that that finding, it characterized this as a final rule that was challengeable in this court within 60 days, and Arizona didn't do that. So what the district court...
They stood up here today and they said in their briefs they accept that. They accept that they submitted an incomplete SIP, that EPA then had a duty to impose, if 2 years, at least within 2 years, a FIP, if nothing else happened. And the consent decree, therefore, the extent it imposes a FIP is okay, except to the extent it precludes a subsequent SIP, 308 SIP, if I have their argument correct. Now, I'm not sure about the substance of their argument, but I think they're pretty clear on what, maybe not pretty clear, it might be too strong, but I think I understand what they're challenging. They're not challenging the finding, they're not challenging the FIP, they're challenging the extent to which that precludes a subsequent 308 SIP from being filed.
This court
and what, where being filed am I, and being sued.
Where in what I just said am I wrong?
This court does have case law that prohibits a plaintiff from coming into court and challenging an earlier finding making a challenge that would be timely, if that timely challenge really depends on challenging an earlier
but
finding.
But it doesn't. So they're saying it doesn't depend. They've said except that there was a bad SIP, proper FIP. They say okay on all that. What they're saying is when they file the new SIP, the 308 SIP, that triggers something. That's what I'm still struggling with on the substance of this. That triggers some suspension of the FIP or something, displacement of the FIP. I don't see how that's barred at all.
Well,
I think it may be wrong, and that's what I'd like to get right to at some point, but maybe...
Let me get to why it's wrong in just a moment.
Okay.
They did make that argument to the district court, and the district court simply disagreed with them. Said
the district court
said
you're collaterally attacking the finding, which
that's
I don't...
Right.
I guess I don't agree with that.
Whether you agree with that or not, Judge Kavanaugh, we can take in a minute. The point is, in their opening brief, Arizona didn't take issue with that holding by the district court. Now, I can also explain to you why Arizona's theory on that is not correct. And the reason for that is simply Section 110C.
Section now you're on the substance of the...
I'm on the merits of Arizona's argument. Section 110C establishes EPA's duty to act. EPA recognized that duty in the 2009 finding.
Right.
Section 110C offers two ways in which EPA can discharge that duty. First, by approving a SIP that meets the requirements of the Act, or second, by promulgating a FIP that meets the requirements of the Act. Section 110C doesn't leave any room for the states to come in and take an action, such as submission of a new SIP, that will discharge that duty. EPA has a duty to act. Now, as you and Mr.
Blair... Now, once the FIP's in place, let's suppose they get a FIP in place, and then the state wants to have a new SIP, how does that work?
Section 110K provides a mechanism for that. Mm-hmm. The state can submit a new SIP. Within 6 months, EPA will or will not determine that the SIP is complete. If the SIP is complete, EPA has a year to take action on it. And if EPA fails to take action, then Arizona can sue under Section 304 for failure to perform a mandatory duty.
Can EPA approve that SIP and displace the prior FIP?
I'm sorry?
Can EPA approve that new SIP and displace the prior FIP?
Yes, EPA can. So just as Mr. Glazer says, the state can get control back over its program. But
what is the standard by which EPA assesses whether to do that?
I think that under 110K, EPA would simply apply the regulations that it has promulgated to determine whether a state has submitted a SIP that conforms to the requirements of the Act.
And the problem here, I think they say, is that the consent decree precludes EPA from exercising that usual discretion that EPA would otherwise exercise to determine whether a newly filed SIP should displace the prior FIP.
That is their argument, but I think that if you look at the consent decree, you'll see that there's no foundation for that. The consent decree, the duty described in the consent decree is the same
as
the
duty. Let me interrupt you there. I'm sorry. Do you think EPA, consistent with the consent decree, could approve a newly filed SIP and displace the FIP?
Well, to be clear, there's no FIP in place. But yes, under the consent decree,
right.
All the consent decree does is establish a deadline by which EPA must have an approved SIP in place for Arizona or must promulgate a FIP for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually goes to the standing argument
Let me just make sure I got this. So what is in place now, too? Can you clarify that for
me? Yes. Arizona submitted a Section 308 SIP in 2011.
Right.
EPA has now taken complete action on that entire SIP. Mm-hmm. That was the 28J letter that
right.
we submitted to the court.
Yeah, got it.
As a result of that disapproval mm-hmm. and as a result of the consent decree, EPA has a duty to promulgate a FIP for Arizona, and EPA has partially promulgated that FIP. There is another FIP element that remains to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
and the remaining consent decree deadline in the case, which I think is currently July 2014, is EPA's deadline to make sure that FIP is in place. Now, under the consent decree, I believe EPA could even approve a SIP at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time that last deadline in the consent decree arrives, EPA must either approve Arizona's SIP or must promulgate a FIP. And that's an important point here because EPA has continually renegotiated the deadlines in this consent decree so that it could act on Arizona's 2011
submission. And there's nothing in place right now, correct?
There is a partial FIP in place right now.
Okay, I use the term partial FIP.
That's right. So it addresses some of the elements required under EPA's regulations.
So this does go to your standing point, and I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. So your view, EPA's view is, consistent with the consent decree, you have the discretion to approve a new SIP in the future, and displace any partial FIP or other FIP that's otherwise approved or might take place at some point.
That's right. And the reason that goes to our standing point is that vacating this consent decree won't affect that duty. That duty is in the act
if EPA declines to do that, will Arizona be able to challenge that declination at some future point?
Yes. If Arizona submits a new SIP and EPA refuses to act on it, then once an appropriate clock has run, Arizona can seek to compel EPA to act. And if EPA acts and Arizona thinks that EPA has acted contrary to the act, then Arizona can challenge that, which is exactly what they're doing now in the Ninth Circuit litigation.
It's too soon. It's too soon for this.
That's
case.
Right, because the consent decree only requires EPA to promulgate a FIP or to approve a SIP. Arizona claims that it would be injured by the promulgation of a FIP, but at the time the district court entered the consent decree, it was unknown whether EPA would in fact promulgate a FIP or whether EPA would act on Arizona's SIP. And EPA has renegotiated the deadlines in this case to give it time to act on Arizona's 2011 SIP.
Right.
So the claim that Arizona has been railroaded because EPA has ignored the SIP that it submitted under Section 308 in 2011 is simply not the case
here. Still finding it out on that.
That's right. Yeah. Finding it out in the Ninth Circuit, which will be competent to litigate all of the issues related to the terms of the FIP that EPA has promulgated.
If EPA chooses to reject the SIP or not to displace the FIP in the future, and Arizona wants to challenge that, that kind of challenge goes to the Ninth Circuit, correct? Or where does that go? Or is that unclear? If you don't know.
It would depend on whether it is a rule of national applicability.
Right.
Because it would apply only to Arizona, I think it would go to the Ninth Circuit, but I don't want to bind the government on that point.
Good point. Good idea.
I see that my time is almost up, and we've spent most of our time discussing the merits of the Clean Air Act issues that Arizona has raised, but I'd like to leave the court with the point that when Arizona made its objections to the district court rejected those on jurisdictional grounds. As Mr. Glaser admitted, his opening brief never said the district court's jurisdictional holding was wrong because. As a result, Arizona waived that challenge, and the district court's entry of the consent decree can be affirmed only on that basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Would that bind them and would that preclude them in the future from doing the kind of challenges we've talked about?
Would what preclude them in the future?
If we did what you just said, which I don't really agree with, but if we did what you just said, would that bind Arizona from taking the kind of litigation steps in the future that we discussed?
I don't think so. Actually, I think it would be the narrowest way for the court to decide the case, because if the court held that Arizona had waived that objection, it wouldn't it wouldn't constitute a substantive ruling on any of the issues that Arizona has raised. It would only say that Arizona has missed its chance to make it.
Isn't it just as narrow to say it's too soon?
Either of those would be appropriate because either of them are jurisdictional grounds on which to dismiss the appeal and affirm the judgment of the district court.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Tim Ballou for the Environmental Appellees. We've covered a lot of ground here already this morning, but I just want to take us, before getting back into the merits, talk for a brief minute about the standard of review here. So when this court reviews a consent decree that's been approved by the district court, the key question is whether the decree is consistent with the underlying purposes and goals of the statute and whether it's fair and reasonable to the parties. And the court need not reach the merits or resolve all the issues that are presented in the district court, in the claims in the district court. And consent decree isn't limited to remedying specific statutory violations found by the court or to relief that the court otherwise could have ordered after a trial. So the decree in this case fully implements the goals and purposes of the Clean Air Act's Haze Program, which, of course, is to clean up haze in national parks and wilderness areas like those in Arizona, like the Grand Canyon. But turning to the merits, the text of the Clean Air Act does not support Arizona's claim that it can stay EPA's federal implementation plan duty by making late plan submittals or submitting a revised plan, a different plan under a different provision of EPA's haze.
Can address the problem by accepting or part of a 308 filed by Arizona, assuming it meets EPA standards.
Yes, if the SIP Arizona had submitted in 2011, which EPA has already evaluated, had met the EPA standards, had met the Haze regulations, EPA's acceptance of that SIP would have been fully consistent with the consent decree, which did not require a federal plan. All it required was that some sort of plan, whether federal or state, be in place that would meet the Haze regulations that EPA has adopted to implement the Clean Air Act. So Section 110C, and I think Judge Kavanaugh, you made a astute observation earlier that EPA was already out of time, because once that Section 1T trigger is activated by, in this case, EPA's finding of a failure to make a required submission under Section 110C, the only way to prevent a federal implementation plan from having to occur within 2 years is for the state to submit a plan that is approved by EPA. And here we have a plan that has been submitted and has not yet been approved, and EPA's FIP obligation still stands. There's nothing in the Clean Air Act that gets away from that 2-year duty.
But actually, as you know, loads of cases where an agency is beyond a specific statutory deadline and the court does not give immediate relief.
Yes, and
so
and
the passage of the deadline changes the nature of the argument about delay, but it doesn't, unless there's a statutory hammer, it changes the argument, but it doesn't decide the argument.
Well, I'm a little bit confused by that, because the statutory clock started running in 2009.
I understand that, but a lot of statutory clocks running out there that agencies are not adhering to.
Right. Well, I think the...
And the courts are not giving relief to people who convincingly say they're being injured by the delay.
Well, I think the upshot of Arizona's argument, if accepted by this court, is that at any time after a state submittal has been disapproved or if a state fails to make a required submission, The state can postpone ever having to comply with a federal plan by just submitting, you know, some other revision to its state plan and asserting that that resets that two-year clock. And as we've heard from EPA earlier, that under the plain interpretation of the statute, the state can always submit a plan later and have EPA review that plan. So reading the statute.
Sorry to interrupt, but just so I understand and make sure I have the structure down, at that point, if you submit a new SIP, so a FIP's in place, but a state can still submit a SIP to try to displace the FIP, and then if EPA can either accept that SIP and displace the FIP, applying the legal standards, or it can reject the SIP, keep the FIP in place, which can then be challenged by the state, you agree with all of that?
Provided that the state, that the transition to the state SIP doesn't result in some lapse in controls under the Act.
Exactly. You or others could challenge it as being insufficient to meet the standards. I understand that. But just in my basic outline, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I see I'm out of time, but just to sum up, the consent decree does nothing more than ensure that EPA ultimately follows through on its overdue obligation to promulgate a federal, to ensure that a plan is in place under Section 110 of the Act, and the consent decree should be allowed to stand on that basis.
Okay.
There's no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Any time left?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Glazer, you can have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. I just briefly want to address Judge Kavanaugh's concern about the standards under which a newly filed SIP could displace a pre-existing FIP. I think the important issue for us here is that we are not arguing before this court that there was some substantive reason why EPA should have approved or disapproved our SIP or why EPA should or should not have imposed a FIP. The issue before this court is timing and procedure, because the issue here is that because of the consent decree, EPA perceived itself correctly that it was under a two-year clock to get a decision made on Arizona's Section 308 SIP, a decision approving or disapproving, and if it disapproved, to impose a FIP. And because of that, and despite...
I mean, it depends on the argument that EPA misunderstands that.
No, because we're appealing the consent decree. So I think I tried to stick in there that EPA correctly perceives that under the consent decree, it is under this two-year obligation. This has motivated EPA to take action to impose a FIP sooner than they wanted to. And that causes injury to Arizona because compliance requirements are now in place that would not have been
in place. But that's because of the prior two-year deadline having come and gone.
That's correct.
Right.
That's
correct. But it also doesn't preclude Arizona, as I understand it, from continuing to try to file SIPs that will displace a FIP.
That's correct. But
so I feel like we're in the middle of the game here and not at the end of the game.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure we should be doing anything until this all sorts itself out with a rejection of Arizona's attempt to have a SIP displace a FIP.
But the referee has already blown the whistle here. But it is true. It is a fact out there that EPA has imposed obligations that the state's industries now have to spend money to comply with. That's
exactly
happening
now.
Exactly,
but that's because of all the delay over the years and the two-year period left. So under the statute, the theory of the consent decree is something should have been in place at the end of that two-year period in the statute. That's what the consent decree is trying to get at even more slowly than the statutory period. But that does not disable Arizona from trying to get out from under that through keep trying SIPs in the future. And until Arizona does that, I'm wondering what we would even say in an opinion.
Well, something should be in place, but not what's in place. That's what the problem is.
But you can chat when EPA rejects your ability to displace the quote, whatever's in place, you can challenge that.
Sure, but meanwhile, the state's industries are spending millions of dollars in compliance
costs. I'm sympathetic to that, but that's the prior failure to get a SIP approved by EPA and then the two-year period lapse. Well, that's where that money, I'm sympathetic to what you're saying there, but that money's being expended because of that prior problem, right?
Well, what we would simply suggest that the failure here is EPA's failure to impose the FIP in accordance with the statutory criteria that it's supposed to act on. Instead, they got themselves in a situation, and they got themselves. That's not fair. The district court entered an order requiring EPA to take an action that EPA didn't want to take but ended up taking. That's an alternative sort of world that's going on right now, mm-hmm. as opposed to the world that might have happened had EPA done what it was supposed to do in response to Arizona's submission of a SIP that had missing elements.
Okay, thank you. Case is submitted.